Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Snug Wrestling Podcast. I am Edgar. I am the host. And like always, my crew is with me, Mr. Blood, Toxic Tommy, and BT Knight. Happy WrestleMania weekend, you guys. We made it. We are 5 days away from the biggest show in wrestling. WrestleMania in Las Vegas is this weekend. And we're going to talk about the Monday Night Raw, the final Monday Night Raw before WrestleMania. And it definitely felt like the last Monday Night Raw before the biggest show. So we're going to be going over that. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Awesome, man. It's WrestleMania season, bro. This is like, yeah. It's like Christmas for the week, you know?
One of the best Monday Night Raws I've seen all year.
Yes.
People say Christmas is the best time of the year. No, it's fucking WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. Welcome to the week-long Christmas. That is what this week is, ladies and gentlemen.
It definitely does feel like Christmas. If you're a wrestling fan, how could you not be excited? It's one of my favorite times of the year. But let's get into Monday Night Raw. We were in Sacramento, California, my hometown, and I was not able to make it to the show, but I got to watch it at home. But I am going to be at WrestleMania this weekend, so I guess I can wait until this weekend. I don't have to be in person for tonight's show, even though I wish I was. And on this episode, we saw Roman, we saw Punk, we saw Heyman, we saw Rollins, we saw Jey Uso, we saw Logan Paul. It felt stacked. It was a star-studded show for this Monday Night Raw. So let's get started with the final segment, which was the Roman Reigns segment with Paul Heyman. We wanted to know what Paul Heyman is going to do. What is he choosing sides? Is he going to pick Roman? Is he going to pick Paul? CM Punk. And when Roman Reigns showed up to the arena, Roman Reigns saw Paul Heyman sitting down with CM Punk. And Roman was just looking at Paul like, look at this two-timing salute over here cheating on me with CM Punk in front of my face like that. Roman Reigns was not happy, and he freaking bashed Paul Heyman. He was like, why, Paul? How can you betray me like that? And then right when we were about to get an answer, here comes Seth Rollins. But I believe Paul Heyman was able to get a few words in. Paul Heyman said that this isn't a betrayal. This is simply a favor that he owed CM Punk that he's paying. But Roman Reigns was not happy with that answer. Seth Rollins comes out. He tries to make, you know, he tries to instigate. Seth Rollins, he's so annoying in this whole thing. And I don't know if that's done on purpose, but I'm just so done with Seth Rollins when it comes to all this. But we still don't know what's happening with Paul Heyman. Who's he going to pick, Roman or Punk? But after what we saw today, I think I might have an idea. But before I get into sharing my thoughts about this, Blood, I'm going to let you go first. Like always, you do the honors. Get us started with this opening, this final segment of Monday Night Raw. What were your thoughts on this?
Honestly, I was mostly satisfied, which is, you know, in many recent years past, the go-home show to Raw has been very hit or miss. Like, we've had some go home shows for Mania that have just been horrible. Like, nothing happens, nothing of note. The guys that are supposed to be in the matches this weekend, the biggest ones don't even show up for that go home show or some bullshit. Like, this was a great go home show for WrestleMania. I was worried about it because I spent the day at Epic Universe and was waiting, rushing to get home so I could see the go home show. And man, what I really wanted to see was, I was hoping that we would get either like John Cena and Cody, like a surprise thing, even I know that John is going to be there on Friday in the SmackDown, or I was hoping we'd get something more from Punk. And I thought this was so cool, man. Like Roman pulling up that in that freaking SUV, looking over at Heyman and Punk like a jealous ex-lover, like in front of me right here with the kids. You know, like, I mean, I thought it was just hilarious. And Roman really trying to cut Heyman down to size. The only thing that I thought was like, a little off about this. Like, we always know that Roman's always had that insecurity, that kind of he fantasizes things or he romanticizes the bad happening to him worse than it actually is without ever taking full stock of his part in things. And the truth is, he had ostracized everybody as the heel tribal chief, so no one wanted to help them in war games. They were, I mean, what did you want to happen? Did you want to get outnumbered in the war games cage and get stomped and have to eat that loss? Or did you want to swallow your pride and accept the help of CM Punk? And he swallowed his pride and accepted the help of CM Punk on the word of the wise man. You may not have agreed to the favor, but you agreed to the help. And, you know, the thing is without Punk, they lose that War Games match. Don't forget, they were, I believe, if I remember correctly, when Bronson Reed, because he injured his ankles in the spot, when he jumped off the top, he was going to try to crush Reigns under that onto that table. He was going to try to flatten him, like, into the earth. Punk yanked Roman out of harm's way and saved him, okay? They shook hands. So how are you going to sit here now and act like Punk is this horrible backstab and this, yada, yada? Like, dude, you accepted the help. You agreed for him to be on the team. Rollins is the one who turned you down when he could have helped you, and he chose not to because of his ego. And now here we are in the ring, and you're pie-facing Paul out of anger and jealousy. And it's like, Paul didn't betray you. Paul legit... How is this fair that Paul's a bad guy for helping you when you didn't ask for it, but when he was begging for you to come save him from Solo last year, you were nowhere to be seen for months. You left him hanging out to dry at the mercy of Bloodline 2.0, and they put him through a table, for Christ's sakes. He didn't sleep for days, and he still went after being abandoned by you. Literally laid down on his sword for you and refused to acknowledge someone else over you. But somehow he's a traitor? You abandoned him. And if you really cared about Paul, you'd think that you would care about his feelings, right? You think you would care that you may be his tribal chief, but you know that Punk is his best friend. And if you cared about him truly, you would actually be like, you know what? After everything you've done for me in the last year, sticking up for me, helping us, even though I didn't want it, but doing it anyway. Support your friend this one time because I know it's a dream of yours. And if a real friend would give up their pride in that moment. And it resulted in Rollins making sure that Roman didn't get manipulated by Rollins again. But what I really care about is that closing part, right? Where after Heyman's pie-faced, and Rollins has been clotheslined out the ring, like a good clothesline, by the way. That was a nice clothesline. And all of a sudden, out comes CM Punk to defend Heyman, but he goes straight for Reigns, and he takes him down. All of a sudden, here comes the spear. Okay, now here comes the chair shot to the back for the third time now in their history. Mimicking the Shield betrayal. The Shield betrayal, I believe when they had that feud several years ago where it ended with Roman beating him Reigns losing by disqualification. And then at Mania last year in the main event. And now the another back shot. You're talking about people betraying you while you're listening to a guy talk about how, oh, well, he's betrayed you and you can't trust him. But the guy who's the baby face that you hate in Rollins is the one guy who keeps actually hitting you in the back from behind. I thought it was great because it really paints Rollins as a real hypocrite, kind of a real villain. Because no matter what he does, he always attacks Roman when he's not looking. But somehow Roman's the villain in their story. And the truth is, Rollins has always been the villain in their story. Even when they were both heels, Rollins has been the bad guy. So I thought this was a great way to go off air. Nice bow wrap. This is my favorite match for the weekend. I'm really looking forward to it.
What was your major takeaway from this, Toxic?
I enjoyed this. I am super excited for the Mania match already as it is. And every week that goes by with this, it's just making me more excited and more excited and more excited that I can't wait. I want WrestleMania to be here because it is my absolute favorite time of the year. Christmas? No. Halloween? No. Easter? No. Thanksgiving? No. WrestleMania week is my favorite holiday of the year.
Absolutely. And we're off to a great start. Yeah. We're off to a great start for WrestleMania week. Do you have any predictions? I guess we're going to do WrestleMania predictions in a couple of days, so we'll wait on predictions. Tommy, what did you think about the closing segment for Monday Night Raw tonight?
I loved it. The callback, everything. But I'm going to correct, as much as we all love Michael Cole, something a little bit with this.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you're wrong. CM Punk was not the first Paul Heyman guy. If you go all the way back, that was the Wild Samoans. Were the ones that started off with Heyman.
So Cole called him the first Paul Heyman guy?
Michael Cole said that if you look back in history, CM Punk is the first Paul Heyman guy. No, that's the Wild Samoans.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been like CM Punk was the first guy to be named a Paul Heyman guy. I don't think the Wild Samoans were calling themselves Paul Heyman guys back then. Could that be it?
That might be.
Yeah.
But with this segment, I truly love the callback to the Shield. Once again, they keep doing this. They keep doing this callback. And when it comes to these two, it means so much more than just a single moment in history. No, these two have a massive grudge, one that they will not let go. And I absolutely love that. The fact that they keep calling back to that moment because it truly was one of Roman Reigns' biggest moments in WWE history.
Absolutely. I want to give a quick shout out to Rocha, Jamie O'Neill, and the Dark Knight. They're on the comment section. They all believe that it's a possibility that Seth Rollins could maybe join Cena and The Rock and join like this major heel faction. Yeah, but shout out to them. Thank you, guys. Anything else you want to add, Tommy, before we go over to BT Knight?
That ending shot. I love the fact that the way they went off is Paul Heyman backed into a corner with the most terrified look on his face, just looking at Seth. That is brilliant, the way they went off air like that.
I think you're on mute, BT. We can't hear you.
No, I'm not. I'm just trying to find the words to describe this, and I don't have any, because this was cinema at its fucking finest. From Roman Reigns pulling up in his luxurious car to seeing Paul Heyman sitting with his best friend in Phil Brooks, aka CM Punk. It was absolutely incredible. I don't have any words to describe this segment. And yeah, Tommy put it perfectly. That last shot was chef's kiss. So
yeah, for sure. Man, Seth Rollins, okay, he's my least favorite in all this. Maybe that's because I've become to be one of the biggest Punk fans ever. Also, you know, I like to poke fun at Roman Reigns, but Roman Reigns is also that guy, you know. It just feels like Seth Rollins always has bad timing. Whenever we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of things, whenever we're finally going to get some answers, Seth Rollins comes out, and he puts everything like on pause, and like he just starts like instigating, and then we never hear what Paul Heyman actually has to say because Seth Rollins came out and interrupted again. But in Seth Rollins' promo, no matter how much I don't like Seth Rollins, he did say a lot of interesting things, which he mentioned the whole thing that the winner of this match is basically going to define the future of the WWE. And Seth Rollins believes that it can't be Roman because he's never there, which he has a point. And it can't be Punk because Punk, I forgot exactly the, basically he just leaves. He's not reliable. You can't depend on Punk to lead the company. It'll ruin the business, basically what Seth Rollins was saying, right? So Seth believes it has to be him because he will always do what's good for business. Wasn't that a callback to what Triple H used to say, right? Which I thought was really interesting. Then we fast forward, he does a Shield chair shot again. Is this going to lead to Seth Rollins maybe turning heel? That was my first.
Not to mention the outfit that Rollins was wearing tonight. It was very close to the Shield look as well.
Good point. Yes, that is true. That was my first, you know, my first thought. My second thought after Roman Reigns hit CM Punk with that spear, it was because CM Punk was trying to look over or check on Paul Heyman, which to me leads me to believe that Paul Heyman could just be playing CM Punk in all of this. Paul Heyman is making CM Punk think he's going to choose his side and then turn around and just go back to Roman Reigns and just be like, ha, got you, motherfucker. I was never going to pick you over Roman Reigns. At least that's what it seemed like tonight a little bit. Paul Heyman a little bit distracting CM Punk, letting Roman Reigns set up for the spear. CM Punk gets hit with the spear, but then you have the stare down with Seth Rollins after. So now I don't fucking know, man. Last week after SmackDown, I thought for sure Seth Rollins is going to be the next Paul Heyman guy. But after tonight, I don't fucking know. Closing thoughts on this, fellas. Anything else you want to add, Blood, about any of this?
I'll go second. BT's had his hand up.
Go ahead, BT.
I just wanted to quickly say, I just thought of this as we were talking about Seth Rollins. Seth acknowledging the crowd for their hypocrisy, like in his vision, like saying, oh, you really want this company to fail so badly under CM Punk's hands? Well, guess what? I don't. So he appreciates the crowd, but he doesn't like it when they start chanting Punk's name. It really sets him off, and we've seen that many times. I love how they continue to nitpick on that. So I wanted to quickly bring that up.
Kind of heelish, isn't it?
Well, that was what the two thoughts I had. One, the closing shot, but the two angles that we got. One, what Tommy said, you know, that great shot of Paul being backed into a corner. But I'm taking that as a visual metaphor for them all literally backing Paul into a corner. He has to choose between his best friend, his tribal chief, and now this other guy who says he owes him a favor, because he spared him a stomp last week. But remember when I said that if Paul did turn heel on on Reigns and Punk, it would be because they put him in the middle and played tug of war with him? This still goes back into my further original point. What if Paul Heyman turns heel and joins Seth Rollins, and Seth Rollins also turns heel? I did say last week, I don't think Rollins leaves Mania without a heel turn. But here's why I say that to my second point, the second shot, how the camera ended lingering on Rollins. Did that, the way his hair was disheveled and he looked psychotic and he was so like grit and determined, he's still holding that chair, that, you know, that chair shot heard around the world, right? Remember that, all these callbacks. He destroyed the closest relationship he had ever had in the business to do what was best for business, an authority callback. But did the way he looked and the way he was holding that chair, did that look like a baby face to you?
No, he's being very heelish. Yeah,
exactly. I really do think we can't leave Mania night one without a heel turn from Seth. And I don't think it happens, because think about this. All this callback they're doing to Heyman and Punk's promo years ago when they talk about walking down to WrestleMania together. They put so much emphasis on that in the last 2 weeks, and that clip went viral, right? Of all the times that you could turn Paul against Punk, where it would hurt the most, shock the fans the most, it would be now to do that Harkin callback, give the fans what they want. We finally get that beautiful moment for Punk. And the one guy who believed that Punk could main event Mania is the one guy that costs him the win in the main event match. That would be Seth.
Sometimes I just wish Seth Rollins wasn't even involved in any of this.
But you know what? I'm with you. I'm 100% agree. You and I are both the biggest Punk fans in the fuck. I'm unapologetically Punk. That man, like I told you, man could smack his mom alive on TV, and I'd be like, well, what did she say to him? You know, like, legit, like, I'd victim blame. But at the same time, when I look at Seth, he fits in this story, but he also doesn't. Because he makes sense for the emotional turmoil that both men are facing, right? Punk and Reigns both have a serious history with Rollins. They're both in the WWE main roster because of CM Punk. Heyman is both one and the other's guy. And now the only guy in there that has no history with Heyman now is creating history with Heyman. It makes sense from so many angles, but I genuinely think that this has to be the last time that something between these men happens on this scale, in my opinion. And it was because tonight Michael Cole said something before I passed on Tommy, something that I thought was very, very, very heartbreaking. He literally says on commentary as Roman's come down to the ring, and now that the Shield is broken up and all the members have gone their separate way, or sorry, now that the Bloodline is broken up and all the Bloodline members have gone their separate ways, the Bloodline is no more. And I thought, whoa, 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 whoa. You're telling me the Bloodline story is fully ended without the last Bloodline thing period was just between Solo and Roman? That's how you're telling me the Bloodline story ended? Why are you telling me that right here, right now? I'm still waiting on the Rock and Roman shoe to drop, you know?
Yeah, they can still pull that off.
So
they can always bring that back.
That was a little heartbreaking for me. I was like, don't tell me you just basically just in a passing note on commentary, just told me the Bloodline story is over. What? We cannot go out like that.
I don't think it's ever going to be over.
No, me either. But Tommy?
For the first time, or for one of the first times, I can truly say that everything, like every little bit of what Seth said tonight was full on fact. He dug into the fact that technically Heyman doesn't owe Punk anything. It is his choice if he fully decides to go through with it. And with him agreeing like he did last week, it's kind of telling me that that's exactly what he's going to do, is he's going to fully go through with it, and then eventually, at some point in the match, screw him over. But everything, every little bit that Seth said tonight, like, tell me when he's lying, because he's not. That entire promo was nothing but truth and fact the entire time.
No, I mean, except for the fact that he says it has to be him to lead the, you know, to be the future of the WWE.
Yeah, that's the part I disagree with in promo. Why does it have to be you, Seth? How is it selfless if you're trying to be self-righteous about it?
Well, he said that Roman is never there. He's only there when it's convenient.
And he said it has to be him.
And like, Punk is
no
like
no one else in that back can carry the company the way you do. Is that what you're saying? But also, Tom, at your point, he was wrong because he said that he called. He said that well, it's a choice that Paul Heyman made, right? But how can you tell a man that he's a betrayer and dishonest and dishonorable while you're telling him that, I mean, you can make the choice and keep your promise and be honorable? It don't make sense, homie. You either want Punk, you either want Heyman to prove you wrong and be an honorable man and keep his word that he gave when someone risked their fucking body to help you when you needed him to in exchange for help from you later. And by the way, the favor is so uneven. Punk risked his health and well-being to help Heyman and the bloodline, and all he asked for in return was just walk down to the ring with me and just be there. Punk is selfless here. He's like, I'll help you. I just want you to be my friend on the way to the ring. What? Why is that such a dastardly thing?
Because I think there's going to be something more happening during the match itself.
But then it comes back down to ego. So you can't call Punk and Heyman dishonorable when everything you're spouting against them is just your own bullheaded, egotistical rhetoric. It's your fears and insecurities speaking, not facts.
Look, all that is true, but also like CM Punk ain't no dummy. He knows what he's doing. Maybe he just wants fucking, you know, get in the middle of Paul and Roman just for his own fucking selfless fun or whatever. But I want to give a quick shout out to AR15, who's in the comments. He says, because he was chosen by the authorities and he want that back. When it comes to all of this, we kind of spoke about like our Mount Rushmore the other day, and this kind of reminds me a little bit of that, because we talked about Chris Jericho when he won the first ever Undisputed Champion, when he was in the middle of The Rock in Austin and he was kind of just there. And then he ended up winning. That kind of reminds me of this a little bit. You have Roman and Punk, who are the biggest stars in WWE right now. And then you have Seth Rollins. He's just there. And it's just like,
he is one of the biggest stars in that company. But if we're being honest, you put those three men in a line, Seth is the least over guy. You know? And people will have... And there's Seth Rollins defenders. And people misunderstand what we talk about when we say that if you take away Seth Rollins, you know, his lights and the music and the sing-along crap and the flashy clothes, all he has is his wrestling ability. What is his character other than self-righteous company guy?
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Paul Heyman, he could be a two-timing whore or a three-timing Slew, we don't know. I guess we'll find out.
What we seem to be forgetting as well is the fact that Heyman has a history of fully betraying who he's working for. He did it with Punk. He did it with Brock. Is it a possibility he does it with Roman too on Saturday?
Well, remember, there was the one point in time where they actually did have Heyman betray Roman, and then they retconned it. And then turned it into him betraying Brock. But he did betray Roman at one point, remember? Because Roman straight up dropped him in the ring. People forget about that part in the Bloodline story.
He's already
betrayed Roman once. But he's also betrayed Punk. And he's also betrayed Brock. He's never had to deal with Seth to betray him. But people are like, there's history. Paul has betrayed everybody. But this is the one time where he's like, dude, I just don't want to be in the middle. I'm trying to be loyal to you, but you fucking abandoned me last year. You're never grateful for anything I do. I'm trying to be loyal to you. You're my best friend, and I want to walk down the ring with you, but you weren't here either when I needed you. You didn't run down to the ring to save me with Solo and then put me through a table. You know, but you know who showed me mercy? Seth Rollins, when he could have curb stomped me and he didn't.
Well, besides that, that was a closing segment for Monday Night Raw, and it was a hell of a way to close the last Raw before WrestleMania. We also had 1, 2, 3, 4 other wrestling matches, and there were WrestleMania teasers, because we had Liv Morgan versus Bayley, which I thought was really good. Also, Rey Mysterio versus Julius Creed, because Rey Mysterio is going to be wrestling El Grande Americano. We had AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross to hype up the match between AJ versus Logan Paul. And we had Penta versus Finn Balor. All four matches were really, really good. But let's go back to the beginning of the show. We kick things off with the World Heavyweight Champion, Gunther. And this was a very, very different Gunther compared to the one that we saw last week. Because last week, Gunther looked worried. He looked scared. He looked like he was shaking in his boots after that Jey Uso promo. But Gunther showed up. And he was pissed off. Well, you can say he was pissed off. Michael Cole said he was frustrated. Michael Cole said that he was maybe even a little bit intimidated, Gunther was, because he showed a lot of rage in this opening promo with Michael Cole. My hometown of Sacramento, California, we're not feeling Gunther whatsoever, booing him damn near out of the arena, not letting him speak, not letting him get a word in. The people are behind Jey Uso 1,000%. And this is heating up definitely for WrestleMania. Then later on we saw Jey Uso. So let's talk about this, guys. What do you guys think is happening this week with Gunther and Jey Uso? Toxic, let's go with you first.
At the start of this feud, it was absolute crap. No story, and I'm telling the truth here. It was bad. It was Gunther coming out to attack Jey every single week, and then ever since Jimmy got hurt, it's been fired up. This story has gotten better. I'm enjoying this, and I wanted to see the match even before Jimmy got hurt. I fully believe that everyone that hates on Jey Uso will be eating their words, including you, Snug. You will be eating your words at WrestleMania, and Jey Uso is winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Like Blood said, if he doesn't, it just ruins his character. He has nothing to go for. Jey has nothing to go for if he loses to Gunther. Nowhere to go.
I gotta give a quick shout out to Carlos, who's in the comments, says Gunther is carrying this feud. Finally, someone who understands the reality of wrestling. Go ahead, Toxic.
I don't even know what I was gonna say. Man, screw it. I'm kidding.
My bad.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this match, and everyone that hates on Jey Uso is going to be eating the words. Yeet.
No yeet. Go ahead, Tommy.
I don't even know what I was going to say, because both of y'all speak bullshit. But because it's true, both of y'all are wrong. Jey is absolutely carrying this. But with Gunther for right now, because I'm pretty sure we're going to get Jey later. With Gunther with this is the first time where I feel like he actually put stuff into this besides the Jimmy thing. If you take out Jimmy and that whole attack there, this is the first time that Gunther has felt like he himself is at a disadvantage. As much as size-wise, that is not the case. Gunther's a big boy. But size-wise, it's definitely not the case. But Jey has gotten into his head, which I think was Jey's plan the entire time last week, was to get into his head and make him doubt himself. And that is exactly what happened this week. You can tell Michael Cole was two questions in, and then Gunther said screw it and just put himself out there.
Yep, I think you hit it right in the head with that one. Gunther's a little flustered, it seemed like, tonight. BT, let's hear from you. What are your thoughts about Gunther's promo and Jey Uso's promo now that we're at it?
I've seen Gunther cut better promos than this one, honestly. I think it's just me, but the crowd fucking ruined this promo from Gunther. He should have come off more threatening, and the crowd just wouldn't fucking let him breathe. So I blame the crowd for this. And Jey's promo, he did well last week, but this one is just him regurgitating the same stuff we heard last week and playing with the crowd, which I thought we were going to drop until WrestleMania came in, but apparently not. So, again, I don't think we're going to be proving the critics wrong, but coming WrestleMania, Jey nonetheless will become World Heavyweight Championship, whether you like it or not, Snug, whether you like it or not. Reality of Wrestling on TikTok, who I blocked for the sake of my sanity, and every single other fucking Jey Uso hater out there, we got two words for you. Suck it.
No yeet. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, I mean, the crowd, AR15 in the comments said it best. The crowds are out of control. But we're not going to hate on my hometown of Sacramento, California, all right? Because we are live. We were a wild crowd tonight. But I should have mentioned that, you know, Jey Uso, as well as Bayley, too, it kind of felt like a homecoming to them because Bayley being from San Jose, Jey Uso being from San Francisco, we're 2 hours away from both of their hometown cities. And Jey Uso even said it best, you know, most of their family is from the West Coast over here on our side. Sol Sokoa is from SAC. And so it's really cool to see Jey Uso, you know, with his people. Even Jey Uso was like, my mom is somewhere here in the crowd and stuff. So the fans really, really love Jey Uso, which is a big reason why Gunther was getting a lot of heat in Sacramento, getting booed like crazy. But let's hear from you, Bled. What were your thoughts? How are you feeling after seeing both of the promos tonight from Gunther and Jey Uso?
I'm in the same vein that I think the segment between them last week was better, because there was a real shaky emotional heft coming out of Jey. And I thought Gunther played with the nuance of trying to almost seem apprehensive to even interrupt Jey, apprehensive to attack Jey, apprehensive to belittle or berate Jey at the fear that Jey would snap right then and there on him in the ring. Because if you remember last week, you just constantly see Gunther putting his hands out, trying to calm Jey. Almost to push the anger, to quell the rage, right? I thought that was really great character work from Gunther last week, and especially from Jey. You know, especially the line about having to pray to God to forgive him for what he's going to do. And this week, I agree in the vein that I thought that I was really hoping Jey would stick a bit more to the serious side that we saw last week and not feed back into the, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And that means, you know, and every other word he lets the crowd interact. But it was decent. It was there to fire up the crowd, obviously, to get them hot for the weekend. But I felt really bad for Gunther in this segment, because I thought this was like, the one thought I had was like, thank God this segment is not on the European tour. We never would have gotten through it. Because, and you said not to hate on your hometown. Well, in this segment, I'm hating on your town, because they need to learn sometimes, fans need to learn sometimes when to shut the fuck up so we can hear the promo that's supposed to be building the story that they are invested in and want to see. If you are invested in the stories, don't you want to hear the story being told? Shut the fuck up. Let the man talk. Let him tell you, because you can tell right then and there. The reason we've heard better promos from Gunther than this one is because he clearly, the crowd got to him here, because he tried to restart twice, right? He said the same line twice. Last week, Jey Uso came down to this ring, and he said that twice. He had to restart twice, and finally he just gave up. When a crowd, like, sometimes we know the crowds are a part of the show. We need the crowds. We need the fans. But sometimes the crowds just ruin things. This was their go-home individual promo pieces, and I really wanted to hear what Gunther thought about what Jey said last week. And even though he finally was able to just push through and talk over him, like, take a hint, shut the fuck up, let him talk. But one thing I wanted to point out about Gunther was, aside from the fact that the crowd actually ruined his segment for me, which really pissed me off. But I noticed that and I've seen the way that men have talked like this in real life many, many times in my life, where they speak through anger and rage, and they feel like they have to make such a pointed or concerted effort to prove to you that they're going to do the thing and dominate the thing and win the thing, and there's no chance in hell. And all I could hear in Gunther's voice and see in his eyes was, oh shit, you don't believe a word you're saying either, do you? And I immediately realized Gunther, not only is he afraid, not only does he feel doubt, at this point, he's mentally already lost the war. Because everything he shouted tonight was just a little boy screaming into his pillow, hoping that the monsters under his bed would run and jump out the window, and that they were never really there to begin with. Everything he said tonight sounded like a scared kid trying to act tough for the sake of not looking weak. And mentally, Jey beat him last week. People don't understand this. Jey won the World Heavyweight Championship last week on Monday, not this upcoming Saturday. Gunther's already lost. Once you lose mentally in a game like this, it'll be exactly what happened to Gunther last year at Mania against Sammy. He mentally lost before the match, and it cost him the title. Jey is your new World Heavyweight Champion. Four letters, one word.
No, yeah, Gunther is out of his, he's not the same cool, calm, and collected World Heavyweight Champion that we're all used to, man. He's, I'm afraid you guys are right. But I'm not going to stand here and just let you guys bash all over my peoples of Sacramento, California. They probably, you know, most crowds, they need to realize when to interact and when not to interact. Even with the whole yeeting stuff, like, you guys, we don't have to yeet all the fucking time. I'm not talking about us here. I'm talking about, like, in the arena. Like, also, like, I feel like Jey Uso, he came out and wanted to do this promo, like, in a real serious and intense way, but the crowd was just too hyped, and they just wanted to yeet with him so bad that Jey Uso, he just said, you know what, fuck it. He's like, I'm with it too now, you know?
And you know what? I'll give it to you, Snug. I'm glad that the crowd is having fun, because that's what we're all here for. I want them to have fun. I want everybody to be as hyped for Mania as possible, especially since out of the 10 to 12 weeks this feud has been going on, only 3 weeks have been good. So if the final week gets them hyped, I'm all for it. But sometimes crowds just need to learn to take a hint. You can be excited. He's only going to be out here for 5 minutes. Give him 5 minutes, then go nuts. But let him get the point across. So I'm not trying to hate on the crowd or your hometown, but the West Coast, as an East Coaster,
we got. I will mute your mic. I will mute your mic.
We got the better. We got the better.
Be careful.
In-N-Out Burger sucks.
Be careful. I got the power to mute. Anyway, yeah. So another match to be excited for. Another match to be looking forward to at WrestleMania. And I just realized something after seeing these matches. These are all like the teasers that we got, the matches that we got tonight. These are all going to be the matches for Saturday. So are they doing Monday Night Raw, the matches for Raw on Saturday and the ones for SmackDown on Sunday? Is that what's happening? Because it kind of seemed like it. Because we have Gunther versus Jay. That's going to be on Sunday. We have the triple threat match. On Saturday, which is going to be on Saturday also. And then we have Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, the women's tag team champions. I believe that's also on Saturday. So I think it's safe to say that the matches for Raw are going to be on Saturday.
Wait, Tax, are you saying that the tag team titles are on Sunday?
Yeah, Liv and Raquel versus Bayley and Lyra is on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. They did say that, yeah.
Never mind. But we did see those these teaser matches tonight on Monday Night Raw also, which I thought were really, really good. I just want to point out a couple things about these matches, and then we'll go around and see if anything else stood out that we should that's worth mentioning. I just want to add that when it comes to the Liv Morgan and Bayley match, Bayley won, but Liv Morgan looked really good. I think she stood out more than anyone else in this match. Liv Morgan, I'm sorry, BT, but she's really growing on me. She just fights dirty like a real heel. She's, she does these little things that make her seem like just really dirty and nasty in the ring, you know, which is, it's refreshing to see, especially in the women's division, because not everyone does it the way that Liv Morgan does. That was cool. You know, we almost got an unmasking with Rey Mysterio at the end. He almost took the mask off El Grande Americano after his match with Julius Creed, which Julius Creed also looked really good, but Rey Mysterio won his match because he needed a win before his match versus El Grande Americano, not Chad Gable. I don't care what anyone says. You know, we even got to see Logan Paul after AJ Styles versus Karrion Kross. But that's one of those matches that's like, yeah, it's just going to be there. You know, it's not, there's not really a whole lot going on there. But the thing that I really wanted to point out was the match between Penta versus Finn Balor. It was a great match. Sometimes I forget that Penta and Finn Balor kind of have like similar styles. They look like they worked really well together in the ring. Finn Balor, you know, he can still go. This was like a different Finn Balor. This was a Finn Balor that I haven't seen in a long time, because he was in the ring with someone like Penta, where they have like this crazy high pace, high flying, you know, high intensity matches, you know, the like the ones that Penta's used to having usually. So that was cool to see Finn Balor pull out. Penta pretty much took something out of Finn Balor that I haven't seen in a long time tonight in this match, which I thought was really good. But after this match, we saw Bron Breakker, we saw Carlito, we saw Dominic Mysterio, and they all got into it. Bron Breakker hit a massive double spear on Dom and Carlito. Then Penta took everyone out with a crazy dive from the turnbuckle to the floor. But did you guys see it? Bron Breakker was holding his knee after that. And it didn't look like one of those, holy shit, I'm selling the knee. No, he looked like he really got hurt. And I got kind of worried, because before the match, Bron Breakker got attacked. The attack looked vicious. And I'm like, you guys are doing this before a WrestleMania. That's pretty risky. But I don't know, man. Bron Breakker was not looking too good after this whole thing. But when it comes to these four matches, you guys, is there anything that that stood out to you guys that we should note before that's worth mentioning before WrestleMania? Let's go with you first, Tommy. What did you think about any of these matches?
People forget how good Balor is when he is on his own and the Judgment Day not getting involved. I mean, yes, he had that Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania 39. But still, ever since then, the Judgment Day has still found their way to get involved. And with Balor this time, none of them did. They showed up at the end, but they did not truly and fully get involved. And that truly showed how good Balor actually is on his own in the ring. He's phenomenal in the ring when it's just him. Toxic, stop it. But he's fantastic when he's in the ring on his own. But people forget that because the rest of the Judgment Day keep finding their fucking way in.
I will give respect to Liv because she has had an amazing 2024. I cannot deny that. But it was the story and the angle that really got to me and is the reason why I just cannot stand her. And not only that, it's her character. It's her character. And I know people are going to say to me, that's how heels work. But then how can we tolerate Roman Reigns more than Liv? How can we tolerate Alexa Bliss more than Liv? Alexa Bliss was able to cut a promo after winning the Elimination Chamber, being inspirational at first, right? And then instantly switched on the crowd like that, breathless, after defending a championship. And she's a more tolerable heel than Liv is. And not only that, if they had booked Liv better in a story where she didn't have to rely on her man to do everything for her, I actually would have taken her seriously. But at the end of the day, that's just my opinion. I will give respect to Liv for the hell of the year that she has had. But it's her character that I just cannot fucking stand. That's the reason why. That I just can't, I can't stand it.
No, that's definitely fair. I mean, I feel like that's the case for a lot of people when it comes to Liv Morgan, but I think she's starting to grow more on people because even today, you know, again, Bailey's from San Jose. She's from 2 hours away from here. She's from California, and the people were chanting, "Let's go, Bailey. Let's go, Liv. Let's go," you know, and Bailey's standing there looking at the crowd like, what the hell? I'm at home. Like, this is my home, and you guys are cheering for Liv. Like, what the fuck is going on? So, I think Liv, man, I think she's on her way up, man. Go ahead, Blood.
I've been a fan of Liv Morgan since she came into the Riot Squad, honestly. I've been a fan of her since she was sticking her tongue out. It was covered in blue, and she was some Timu knockoff Harley Quinn. And a lot of people forget that's how she debuted. You know, I've always liked her character work. I always thought back then she never got her due. But to her credit, the girl has really put in the work the last 2 years. She has really, really busted her ass to be better and do better and get better. And especially over last year, I feel like she's truly, fully become comfortable in the ring. There's a confidence about her now when she moves and wrestles that she didn't have even a year ago. And people forget that, you know, people are like, oh, she can't win anything without Dom's help or a man's help. That's not true. Y'all forgetting she took Becky Lynch to the limit. Okay. More than once. Okay. She's taken Rhea to the limit. Liv has never lost in a dominating fashion to anybody in several years, okay? We're talking Rhea Ripley, who took Charlotte Flair to the limit and vice versa, and literally has lost to Charlotte Flair, but Liv has literally taken Rhea to the absolute brink in a match. Not only does she look better in the ring, she sells better in the ring. She's got great in-ring psychology. She's always staying in character. When the match ended the night, the first thing I thought was, oh, That's a look in her eye and on her face. The way the camera framed, look at, she had this red bruise up here. And she's just, the ref comes over to check and she just goes and pushed him away and just keeps staring down Bailey. I was like, that's the intensity. That's the intensity from the Liv Morgan that was on that crazy hardcore gimmick that Vince threw at her for a good fucking 6 weeks and dropped. And where every week she's just trying to do something extreme. Anybody even remember that from 2.5 years ago? And, you know, she's
shown, unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, she's shown and proven she is not afraid to do the crazy stuff, get hurt, get injured. She's like, Liv has proven she is willing to be a rag doll for anybody, put anybody over, sell for anybody. She's such a team player, and it shows. And so I'll always appreciate Liv. When it comes to the Rey Phoenix, or sorry, not Rey Phoenix, the Penta and Finn Balor match, I've said this as often as I possibly can. If I could look 20% as good as Finn Balor does in my mid-40s, I'll have won life. Because I'm not in my mid-40s, and I don't look as good as him now. So when I look, what Finn, not only is that man like just a god in that ring, the one thing I love about the Judgment Day and him being involved with them is that you truly, watching him get to wrestle these one-on-one matches like this, the ones they let him go 15, 20 minutes in a main event or something, I truly feel like I'm actually being rewarded or being or getting like a treat. Like, oh shit, I actually get to watch Finn go out there and fucking go high gear, because he always goes high gear. So when I think of Finn Balor in the Judgment Day, I'm glad that he's been in the Judgment Day as long as he has, because it's truly made the fans, especially newer fans who are still getting used to him, completely underappreciate and underexpect and underestimate him. So when they finally see what he can really do in that ring, I'm like, hey, I bet you liked him. I bet you're a fan of him now, aren't you? Because he's just that good. And Penta, so good, always good. When it comes to the knee of Bron Breakker, I'm really hoping that he's just trying to sell the fall and he's a really good seller. Because the way that Penta landed on everybody, if you looked closely, Bron was the one in the back that everybody kind of toppled into. And so I'm hoping that none of them rolled or landed on his leg the wrong way. Because even when Penta rolled off him, he was kind of hung in the corner like that on the ground like this, just like doing this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but those guys were all kind of laid across his ankles, his feet, his shin. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, why are we risking like the, and I'm with you, Snug, why are we doing the backstage beat up spot? Because people are like, oh, it's all fake. It's predetermined. No one's really going to get hurt backstage. It's staged. Tell that to Rhea Ripley, who had her whole fucking shoulder fucked up and blown out and popped out last year, just in a backstage brawl with Liv Morgan.
Mm-hmm. She was gone for months after that.
Months, a separated shoulder. It's very dangerous. So to pull that off 5 days before the biggest show of the year, it's kind of like, hey, y'all really sure you want to have anybody doing anything physical? Because what I'm thinking about, I'm like, I know these are all like tasters, teasers, appetizers for the matches we're getting this weekend. But any one of your matches goes out the window and derailed, card subject to change, if any one of these people gets injured tonight or Friday.
Yeah, definitely, man. But Bron Breakker, he's a beast, dude. He's an animal.
And he'll still wrestle injured.
Yeah, he will. But still, man, I just hope nothing happened there. But yeah,
man, I hope he's all right. I'll knock on wood for that one.
But yeah, other than that, man, that was Monday Night Raw. That was one hell of a way to hype up some of these matches for WrestleMania. I thought very interesting show tonight. Stay tuned, you guys, because we're going to have WrestleMania predictions coming up here in a couple days, where we're really going to get into who's going to win these matches and what we think the outcomes are going to be, which should be really interesting. But yeah, until then, you guys, that was a Monday Night Raw review. Thank you guys so much. My name is Edgar. I'm the host. We'll see you guys in a couple days.
Four letters, one word.